Hey, Daniel Gregory here. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Perceptive Photographer Podcast. Hope you're doing well. This week, I wanted to talk a little bit about religion and politics. Actually, I don't want to specifically talk about religion and politics, but I do want to talk about a phenomenon that I've noticed around religion and politics and how that relates to our photography and our creative practice. I don't know how it is in your family and with your friends, but more than one occasion, I've been out with family or I've been out with friends or I've gone to a party and sometimes even posted on the door of the house we're entering for the party, it says, no religion, no politics, as those are topics that have been excluded from being able to participate in that evening's events and activities. Most likely because those are two topics that people get very passionate and heated about and oftentimes, not every time, but oftentimes have an unwillingness to show any flexibility in their desire to listen, learn, inform, and have an insightful conversation about. It's just so core to people that it causes a certain level of, let's just call it rage, in that conversation to really try to hone a position, to try to change somebody's opinion. And much like the beliefs one person holds, another person holds similar beliefs that are that rooted. So unless you've recently gone on some sort of snack, meditate, lust adventure in your life that's really caused you to have a change in who you are, a lot of those values you have around religion and politics are pretty well set. And so to just have a heated argument around them becomes problematic for a lot of people because they don't detach from the experience of the conversation. I know in my family, it's interesting. Old stories come up, old feelings come up. When those arguments ensue, people have a real struggle with separating making conversation from personal attack. So it's a really interesting element, I think, in terms of how we approach those topics. Like I said, I think we avoid those topics because it's easy to be hurt. It's easy to not be heard. It's easy to be angered. It's easy to sort of become somebody who you're not normally in everyday life because of the way those conversations develop. So we often avoid those conversations so that we can have a much more informative time, we can have a better time, we can just enjoy the company of others when we're around them. It's something we just have learned as a group and a society to avoid. All that being said, like I said, I don't want to discuss religion and politics and make somebody have a certain religious or political belief, but I have started to wonder over the past several weeks as I've run into this, you know, as we've hit summer barbecues and family reunions and things like that, where this has come up over and over again, are there things in my photographic life, are there things in my creative life that are the equivalents of religion and politics? For those of you who've listened to the podcast, you know I'm a huge fan of Minor White and the work Minor White did on the nature of equivalence when it comes to looking at photographs. I've wondered, are there those equivalents for religion and politics when it comes to my creative practice? And I think the reason I've started to wonder about this is, are there certain things that I believe that are so entrenched that I'm not able to have an intelligent or insightful conversation or critique about somebody's work? Is there a certain genre of photography? Is there a certain method of photography that I somehow have such a visceral reaction to that I'm not able to actually engage in a meaningful, insightful way with the artwork or with the artist who created it? And while I don't think it's necessarily as entrenched or rooted as religion or politics, I do think there are certain things that just really kind of foundationally change my approach to conversations. As I look at my own work and I think about certain techniques, maybe it's HDR, maybe it is compositing, maybe it's conceptual photography. Who knows what it is for you? But as you look at that work, is there a certain thing that when you look at it, it just causes such a visceral reaction into you that you're unable to really step back and have an intelligent conversation, but have a meaningful, insightful conversation without causing harm to yourself or harm to the other person just in the tone, inflection, and vocabulary you use to describe the work. I've had a critique before of my own work where they were looking at platinum palladium prints, and I was told that that's not real photography. The only real photography in the world is silver gelatin printing, and if you don't create silver gelatin prints, there's no way a photograph could be successfully critiqued. That would be an example of what I'm talking about from a religion political standpoint. There was so entrenched in this person who was doing the critique that it had to be a very specific way of photography, a very specific methodology of photography, everything else was excluded. And I think that becomes a huge detriment for us. I think we lose a lot of our ability to look at photographs, to insightfully understand photographs, to insightfully carry on a conversation about photographs when we become so blinded without understanding what we're closing ourselves off from by having those conversations. So in our own work, what is it that makes us have that same response? What are those conversations? If I came to your studio or I came to your office where you do your photography and you said, listen, I'll talk about anything in photography, but I won't talk about this. Or if I brought up a certain topic, like I said, I think HDR is an easy one. I hear so many people talk about how much they can't stand the look of or the response to HDR photography. That might be a topic that would be an example for you, that maybe you have that response where you can't get past the technique, you can't get past what happened when HDR got flickeritized a decade ago at this point, and you're not able to look at what's currently going on with that type of work, with that type of style, with that type of technology to create what could be actually some very interesting photography. Or like I mentioned earlier, maybe it's compositing. Maybe it's the fact that if it's not done in lens behind the camera, that for you, it's not even a photograph. It becomes a digital painting. It becomes something else. And your reaction is so strong that you're not able to really listen to what the person does to create their work or how they go about creating meaning in their work and what's meaningful for them in their work. Because one of the things that's so important for us as artists and so important for us as photographers is that we don't have to blindly support work we don't like. We don't have to go out and say, oh, everything's great, everything's rosy, look at how amazing all this photography is. But we do have a responsibility to be able to look at work and provide some meaningful discourse about why we respond to that work the way we do. Why do we have the reaction the way we do? And even when it's on a subject that is sensitive and can cause us to sometimes overreact or underreact, we need to be aware of that bias so that we can, one, inform the person that we do have that bias, and two, that we can then temper our response. We become more aware of how we could possibly respond in a more insightful, meaningful way, knowing that we have that specific blind spot, that specific point of pressure, that angst, that anger, whatever it is that causes us to respond to that. The other piece I would challenge on this notion of these topics that people get overly charged with, and you see it a lot online, you see it a lot in conversations from people where there's just certain things they're so passionate about that they sometimes make statements they probably do regret in hindsight. And that's the other piece of this, is there's probably things in life where that might be appropriate. It might be appropriate for certain things that are so foundational to who you are that you're willing to risk relationships, you're willing to risk certain things for that. But in your photography, in your sharing your creative practice, and when you're experiencing and sharing your self-identity, your self-concept with the world through the art you create, and when you look at the work that other people have hopefully done the same with, is it really about that conversation, or is it about the judgment of that conversation that matters? I think the creative act in itself at this point is the significant moment. It is the thing that really matters. And at some level, we should celebrate that, because one of the things that oftentimes happens with those strong topic conversations like religion and politics is that the voice of one gets shut down. The voice of the person who has something to say gets so tamped down, so beat down because of the structure of that conversation that their voice isn't heard. And one of the beautiful things about creativity is that everybody has a voice that can be heard. Everybody has a way of expressing that voice. And I do think that one of the charges we have as creators, as people who create things, now whether you're a craftsman, whether you're an artist, whether you call yourself a photographer, whether you call yourself a photo painter, it doesn't matter. You are in the business of creating something. And that part of your responsibility is to support others in that creative act, to support others in their creative intention. And so making sure that you don't have that religious conversation around somebody else's work is important to make sure that they continue to foster who they are. We don't want to break somebody. We don't want to snap somebody's spine in the conversation so that they're no longer able to create work and move forward in a meaningful way. We always have a better way to learn. We always have a better conversation to have. the more times we can have that conversation, the better we become at it. And at the same time, we have to remember it's creativity and a creative act. We're not actually trying to dissuade, create, process, move, change, beat down people. We're trying to express something that is significant to us as individuals. And if it works and if it is significant to others, it will, you know, germinate on its own. It'll create more conversation. It will lead to new ideas. It will lead to other people expanding or contracting on those ideas. But it's still an idea that needs to be fostered and shared. So I think it's important for us as creators to be aware of that. It's important for us to recognize that as we struggle with our own work, maybe it's the conversation in our head of religion and politics, or whatever you substitute in for those two words within your work. But what is it that you're creating? What is it that you're not creating that's being stifled by this bucket you've put in it of a taboo topic for the party you're having? Maybe it's time to actually have that conversation with yourself about what is so taboo about that, or what is your approach to that that is the problem? Because I think a lot of times it's not necessarily the topic, but it's our approach to that topic that becomes the struggle. And I think the other thing that leads to is a lot of times people say they have ideas for projects. They have things they want to attempt to do photographically, but they don't know how to move forward. I think part of that is because things that are significant to us, places where we learn, places where we push ourselves forward, where we get to slide on that edge of creativity into the unknown, means that we're going to take a risk. We're going to deal with topics and subjects that we may not be comfortable with. And in order to do that, we have to be willing to have those conversations. So having that awareness, respecting what's in that bucket, respecting how you respond to those various buckets and the way you do your creative practice, I think will be a big deal for you. I would encourage you to spend some time to really think about, if you were having that photographic party, what would be the topics you don't want on the door because they just cause an overt response in you. And spend some time figuring out why is that? What is it about that? And more importantly, how can you flip that on its head so that you could start to have interesting conversations, insightful and supportive conversations for people who do create that kind of work to help work things forward? I will tell you that it probably isn't going to necessarily work when you get home for Thanksgiving or for the holidays and you want to discuss politics when you're on opposite sides of the fence with your family. Maybe stick this more with the photographic part of your life. Don't want to be responsible for anybody getting stabbed with a turkey leg at Thanksgiving next year. And I do know that there are families out there who would easily stab you over a political conversation. So keep it with your political life, with your family at the holidays. Make this about your photographic life and your creativity. Good luck. I hope you do find something interesting to work with there and that you find maybe a different way of supporting the people or doing something that's challenging your own perceptions and ethos around photography. Don't forget, you can always find us up on iTunes, Google Play, and all the places podcasts are found, Spotify, all that kind of stuff. A review up there would be great. Hope you have a wonderful week. I look forward to talking to you again soon. And if you have any topics or ideas you have for the podcast, don't hesitate to let me know. I'll be happy to talk about anything that you guys are interested in hearing about. Have a great week, and I'll see you next time.